Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. With the 2018 National Teacher of the Year and Washington State Teacher of the Year, Mandy Manning. She teaches English and math to refugee and immigrant students in the Newcomer Center at Ferris High School in Spokane, Washington, where she is her students' first teacher once they arrive in the U.S. Mandy began her career as a teacher in the Peace Corps in Armenia. She has also taught in Japan and in schools across the U.S. This global perspective infuses her classroom. Mandy uses experiential projects like map-making to help her students process trauma, celebrate their home countries and culture, and learn about their new community. Mandy has hosted more than 160 teaching candidates in the Newcomer Center, and many teach their first lesson in the center. District leaders, school board members, and legislators are regular visitors to her classroom. As a national board-certified teacher, Mandy is an ambassador and mentor to her colleagues, and is known for her collaborative style and determination to bring marginalized voices into decision-making. Mandy led a diverse community in reevaluating her school's discipline plan and adopting an evidence-based behavioral intervention plan that enhanced academic and social behavior outcomes for all students. This effort resulted in a 74% decrease in suspensions in the first year. Mandy's dedication to her students and their families reaches well beyond their achievements in the classroom. She works tirelessly to make sure her students have the mental and physical health resources they need to be successful and safe, as well as adapt to life in a new country. I am so impressed with everything that she has done, both as a teacher and as an ambassador for the profession. You're amazing. I mean, I know everyone tells you that, but it's true. How have you seen the teaching profession change over the 18 years that you have been a teacher?
Well, there's been a lot of changes over the years, several actually. So I started as a classroom teacher in Texas in 2001. Of course, with 9/11, things like shifted because then there was this whole like nationalism thing. And so that has greatly impacted our schools since then with just different initiatives and things that have come down, and the way that people perceive schools has shifted a great deal. And I think that started before 2001, but then after that, I mean, there was this huge thing about the flag salute in schools and just different things. And we've always pledged, like I've never worked in a school that has not pledged the flag, but just perceptions of what teachers are doing in the classroom. And so there's this level of distrust that I see, but I think that that's changing. I think we're changing back. And then also just the amount of testing. Mm-hmm. That started again right before I got into the classroom around 1998-99. I always think we're getting out of it, and then I'm reminded when we have an entire month of testing in May, and I'm like, oh wow, yes, okay. There's shifts in how we're communicating about kids and trauma, and how we're, because we have shifting demographics. Like, there's just different needs. And to be frank, we have to change. We have to shift. And some changes are really positive, and some changes are not as positive. But I think what we're seeing right now with the trauma-informed practices and the restorative practices and the cultural responsiveness and the different things around connections, those are really positive changes, and so I'm really excited to see where we're going.
It's definitely a shift, and one thing that's shifted, too, is your role. I mean, you were Washington State Teacher of the Year for 2018, and now as National Teacher of the Year for 2018, how do you see your role shifting from a state level to a national level?
Well, as the State Teacher of the Year, I viewed my role still to be a voice for my students and a voice for my colleagues and everything, but also to visit a lot of school districts and to compare and to see, you know, what's happening in our state and how does that impact what's going on in Spokane and what does it mean just in general about what we're doing. And so to learn and to speak. And I think my role is still the same as National Teacher of the Year, but it's such a bigger... It's so big. I mean, I'm going to be traveling around the United States and internationally. And not only, you know, to spread my message about giving our students experiences outside of their understanding and making connections and ensuring that we're reaching across difference and all of those things, but also to see what other states are doing. So I went from, like, thinking about how a school in Seattle, what they're doing compared to what we're doing and how we can learn and grow from one another to, okay, this is what's happening in Illinois and this is what's happening in Ohio and here's what's happening in Washington. And let's think about why is that and why does it look different and start those dialogues and just get a picture of what education looks like across our gigantic country. But ultimately, in both roles, I am a vehicle through which my students can tell their stories. And for my immigrant and refugee students, that's a huge deal, and one I don't take lightly. And I just want to add to the previous question you asked.
Yeah, totally.
There's so many initiatives and policies and different things that have shifted over the years, but there's one constant that has been the same from the first day that I was teaching in Spearman, Texas, to right now in the Newcomer Center at Ferris High School. We are there for students. As a teacher, my ultimate responsibility is to meet the needs, social, emotional, educational, all of the needs of my kids, and to put them first. And that has not changed.
I think that's the one constant that you can see across the country. I think teachers, the vast majority of them, believe that too. That's why they got into this.
Yeah.
Is that how you would basically craft a national narrative for education when it's, for the most part, perceived as a local issue?
Well, yes. And I think actually because it's perceived as a local issue, that's why it's so profound. Because the idea shouldn't be that we have the same system place to place. It should be, hey, how are you meeting the needs of your specific community and the students that you're serving? And okay, you teach in this big comprehensive high school in Kansas City or whatever, and I can see what you're doing for the community. And now what's happening in each individual classroom to meet the individual needs in those classrooms? I mean, that's such a powerful thing, right? We have this whole narrative nationally about wanting to ensure that we're able, every school, to meet the needs of the students. And I think that idea of really focusing on the individual needs of the students in individual classrooms, in individual schools, in individual communities is really the key to that narrative. And so me focusing on my kids and then asking other educators, how are you focusing on your kids? That's a great way to start that conversation. So, okay, how can we make our policies and everything open enough to allow the schools within each community to serve that specific community?
Well, I think you did a great job of bringing your students to the national stage when you had a stack of letters from them that you gave to the president. What was that meeting like for you to meet President Trump?
Well, I was, of course, a little bit nervous. Because I teach immigrant and refugee students, and I knew that that was going to be a controversial aspect. But at the same time, I was really excited and hopeful because I was like, you know, how often do our kids have an opportunity to have their personal ideas handed directly to the president? So I was excited, and I really didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it. I mean, I think I was with him for maybe a minute and a half total, and with only about 30 seconds of that actual engaged in conversation. And so I just was very focused, and I was like, okay, I'm going to hand the letters. I believe that all of my kids' stories and ideas are important. And so I did not, like, discriminate with the letters. So there were letters in there that were positive towards the president, and then there were letters that were very pointed and requesting some shifts and some changes. And then there were letters that were just purely heartfelt about my students' dreams for the future and what it meant to them to come to the United States and their process in coming here and wanting to be with the rest of their family members who aren't here yet. But all of them, every single letter, was so respectful. Almost every single one said thank you. It was just such an honor to be able to do that for my kids, even though it was uncomfortable.
If there is a story of one of the letters that you're comfortable telling here, who would you like to focus on? Because it seems like another platform to tell a student story.
Yeah. So there's so many different kinds of stories. So I'm going to tell you a couple.
Great.
Okay, so one of my students, who is an immigrant student, I won't use his name. I don't think that he actually put his name on his, but I call him David. And he wrote how much he dreams that there will be a way that he can go to university because right now he doesn't see that opportunity for himself yet, even though he's such a hard worker and he focuses and he comes. So his letter, he articulated to the president his dream to work in information technologies, and that he just asked that there be some pathway for him to be able to achieve his dreams because he wants to be a productive member of our community. And so that was a beautiful one. And then I had a student who wrote a poem about his traumas that he went through before coming to the United States and how he'd lived his entire life without hope. You know, most of the time, a mother couldn't even provide the food that her children needed in his country, in Africa. And that coming to the United States represented hope and dreams that he could be someone. And he just wanted the president to understand that, that he had come through such great trauma to come here. And he was so thankful because this is where he has hope. I think that he just wanted the president to recognize that coming to the United States is not something that they planned, and that it represents a lot, and they understand that, and they're very thankful. And then just one of the pointed ones. It's hard to decide on those ones because there's so many things that are important, but one of our students from an African nation mentioned that the president's language he had used to describe refugees and immigrants coming from African nations in a very derogatory way, and how that has impacted her in our school, where people have felt empowered to make racist statements to her and tell her to go back to Africa. And she, in a very cordial, respectful, kind way, just requested that he be very careful with his language, because what he says is often emulated by his constituents, by the people who are his base. And she asked that he just take care, because he's a role model. He's the one that signals to people what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And she's here to be productive and happy. And it's very hard when she has to face that kind of discrimination.
Yeah, you've said many times that words matter. And I think that's a huge takeaway for everyone to listen to. I'm really impressed with the connections that you have with your students, because they are from all over the world. They speak many different languages. How do you connect like that with your kids?
Well, I just am interested and I care about them. I mean, from the moment that they walk into my classroom, I try my hardest to be very warm and welcoming, and I hug all of my students like every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. I just really pay attention to them. And I'm aware that they're there, and I'm with them when we're together. And anytime my students need anything, they know that they just have to come to me and I'll do everything I can to help them. I think just communicating that I'm so excited that they're there. And it's okay if we have to take baby steps when we're communicating with one another because they don't know English yet. It's okay because it's exciting and we're just going to go on this journey together. And they know that I'm the one that's going to take them out into the school and I'm going to introduce them to people. And we're all going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's going to help us create connections. And once they do go out of my classroom without me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Plus, I have an outstanding partner, a bilingual specialist who I work with, and she's just as invested as I am in these kids. And so we think it's hard because they all speak different languages, but it's not. They're teenagers. They're teenagers. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, fumbling through life, trying to figure out what it means to grow up. I just love them. I love them. They're so full of potential and just lovely human beings. And so every day I get to come in and enjoy the people I'm around. Who gets to say that?
Yeah, it seems like creating a sense of belonging and also a belief that they can succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you could give advice to teacher prep programs around the country, what would you tell them?
So I know that most teacher prep programs currently have people who are working in the field teaching the classes, which I think is really wonderful. But I would say that means we're taking the teacher from the classroom and bringing it to the university. I think that we should be bringing the students in the university into the classroom. from like the first day. We do observations, we do, you know, student teaching, we do practicums and all these other words for your internship, essentially, your apprenticeship, which is great because that's the part where they really learn. I think that educators need to know what they're getting into as soon as they make that decision to become a candidate to be a teacher, and maybe even before, even before that. It's not like any other job. Like, you're working with human beings. It's a huge responsibility because your job is not just to teach the students curriculum. Your job is to teach them how to be productive, compassionate, connected members of our communities. That's our future. Our future of everything is these kids, and you are on the front lines like every day. And so we spend a lot of time on lesson planning, a lot of time on theory, which is all great. But when you get into the classroom, that all changes. You might have the most beautiful lesson plan in the whole wide world, but 5 minutes in, you got to monitor and adjust because it's not speaking to your kids. So we need to help brand new educators, like just dreaming. It's like a spark of a dream to be a teacher. They're going to be in the business of building human beings. And in order to do that, you have to be interested and connected. And the only way you know if you're interested and connected with kids is by being with kids. And so we need to immediately, oh, you're interested in being a teacher? Let's go visit a classroom. How about you spend an entire day in a classroom and see what it's really like?
Well, you're going to have plenty of things to do as National Teacher of the Year. What's the next thing on your agenda?
Well, on Monday, I'm going to rest. No, but I still have a lot of duties as the Washington State Teacher of the Year before I embark on my national duties. So over the next month and a half, I'll still be traveling around Washington State, visiting school districts, visiting schools, speaking with educators, speaking with superintendents, doing workshops, all of those things. And then come mid-June is when I'll be embarking on my travels as the National Teacher of the Year, and I'm just going to keep telling my stories and being that vehicle for my students to have a voice. I'm just going to do the best I can. I can only be me, right?
Mandy Manning is the 2018 National Teacher of the Year and the 2018 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished and will continue to accomplish. Mandy, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. It was fun. Thanks.